listening to The Kirk Collins Show.
To excel, no better moment to root your world. Come take a dive, won't ya? You feel alive, don't ya? Break the cycle and the mold. Truth be told, the road is cold. Grab your coat and let's go, go, go.
And I'll bring the way.
Hold on tight with all your might and don't lose sight. Enjoy the ride.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Kirk Collins Show. I have a special guest today, Allison. Hi Allison, how are you doing?
Hi Kurt, I'm good. Very excited to be here on my very first podcast.
Well, welcome. You know, we're doing Healing Together episodes and I can't think of a better person to help us heal than you.
Aww, you, that's so kind.
Yeah, I met you through one of my friends who did a Reiki healing session and then we had one together and it was one of the most magical moments of my life. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you for that feedback. That's so nice to hear and makes me very happy to hear that it landed well on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How did you get started on this journey to become a Reiki healer and just overall healer, it seems like, in general?
Yeah, so let's see. I started in 2005 on this sort of vague journey of wellness as a physical therapist. So I graduated in 2005. And yeah, after that, I started my first job and worked in an intensive care unit and just spent, 3 years studying every single day, all the time, really helping people and working with people to help with physical ailment. And in this first job in intensive care, you're really meeting people who have the worst physical ailments or terrible accidents have happened to them, or they've had organs replaced. And it was definitely kind of a grim place to start on my journey, but it was also a really great first vulnerable place to start as well. And it kind of takes away all the fancy techniques you've learned over the years, and it really takes a lot of people skills, really, when you're working with people that are feeling very vulnerable and physically, And soon I noticed that it wasn't just a physical thing with the people that I was working with, and it was also, at the time I wasn't that spiritual yet. I was just still kind of starting my journey, but I did notice very quickly that there was a huge component of attitude and emotional and mental disposition of a person that really was a very big key in, whether they continued on their healing, upwards or downwards. So I also kind of resented having, studied so much and, just kind of felt like I was kind of not using my skills in this intensive care unit so much, because mostly you're just helping people mobilize, stand up for the first time, you give them some breathing therapy tips, and, you really can't work with the people all that much. So I went on to work in a couple of other practices, and that still kept happening. Even though I was working in just regular practices and with people with maybe more regular, normal kind of aches and pains, daily living wear and tear. And there I found it also that people were just not necessarily getting better, because the physical part is just the one part. And I'd say shortly after that is really where my kind of search for more than what meets the eye and more than the tangible started. And I went on to kind of learn a couple of different modalities. And I went to Thailand to learn Thai massage. And there I learned a lot about energy, because they work with these energy lines, the meridians from the Eastern spiritual philosophies. And so as I started to actually practice these different modalities that I had learned, even though I originally learned them because I wanted to do them to the people I was already doing physical therapy with. But as I went on, and I wasn't 100% sold on any of the energy stuff yet. It wasn't really until I started working with the modalities. And specifically back then, it was the hot stone massage and the Thai massage that really kind of started to open this portal for me that there was more. Yeah, and then I went on and on in search and kept going, and then went on to do the Reiki. And that I started in 2013. It was my daughter. My daughter was just about a year old, and I went to Mommy and Me Yoga in Sherman Oaks at Two Hearts, and I met somebody who ended up becoming a really great friend and in the class, and our daughters became friends. And anyway, but the first time I met her, she was like, "Oh, I'm gonna, after class," she said, "I'm gonna go see my shaman and have a Reiki session." I really came, I wasn't, even though I was spiritually open, I definitely didn't know that much about Reiki yet. And what I did know about it, I wasn't that impressed, especially when I'd heard that, there was people out there who were charging exuberant amounts of money,
right.
Somebody this license, to give you something that you tap into for free if you really wanted to, But over time, I began to understand, it's okay to have a free exchange of energy, of time and money and all that. So, and also I didn't really believe in it. I don't think, not really. I was still very even though I was starting to feel energy, I was still very fixed on helping people in a tangible way. The hands are on them somehow, right? But I really liked, my friend and the way her eyes were glowing when she's talking, but I thought, open yourself up a bit more and go check it out. And so I went to go get a session in Woodland Hills by her shaman, and met Elaine, who later became my teacher for all the Reiki levels up to the master level. And I just loved it, especially with all my experience in massage and everything. You know, I would go out and try to go get a massage sometimes, especially in that first year after I'd had my daughter, and I was feeling really like I needed the massage for my neck and everything. And I would get a massage, and you know, you finally get this short minute to yourself, and you know, then you get a bad massage. To say that I've had a lot of bad massages. And, you know, where you just end up feeling like the exchange wasn't even, the energy, money, time, et cetera, wasn't even. And, you know, it's like, especially just that first year of having a small infant, I was just desperate for like some sort of well-filling. And I really got it in that session. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to be open and see what happens. And, you know, the session was like 90 minutes long. And I could feel part of myself kind of like as if part of myself was like raising to the roof and part of myself was totally grounding down simultaneously at the same time. I felt like my whole energy field stretched out or something like that. And it was an incredible session. I really went home feeling like, wow, I feel like the way I feel after I've had a really, 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 really good massage. But I felt like that for 3 days. And so I was like, I know there's something about this. And so that led me to go and take the first course. And from there, I just was hooked and I kept going up until the master level, because I really felt like I found something where I could kind of, that was like an umbrella that would encompass all the things that I'd already done, because I'd had all these certificates, you know, that were like in the wellness realm and these different tools, but I really couldn't figure out how to tie them together. And in the Reiki work, I felt like I could pull it together. And when I was doing Reiki sessions for people in person, you know, before COVID, I would also find myself maybe using a stretch from a Thai massage, you know, or using a trigger point in an area of the body where I'd located, you know, a blockage that needed to get moved that was, you know, had physically manifested itself in that area. So it was just a very exciting, very awakening time. As much as I was always in that like realm of like looking for wanting to help people with what I'm doing in my job, I never had really imagined that it could have been like this. And it really felt like magic to me too. And I think that part of me, that ancient part of me that recognized this kind of, you know, from like this work from long, long, long ago, and just really clutched onto it somehow, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, what an incredible journey that, you know, led you to becoming this healer in so many different aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really been quite the journey.
And then I imagine, you know, also pretty fulfilling when you're helping other people, because, you know, like you can change in people's lives. You know, I know you did my friend Janine, you did me, like, so it's, you know, well done. And we are really appreciative of everything you do.
So glad you're doing really well. And, you know, I think that I like to see, well, when I do the work, I like to see it as that I'm an aid in helping, you know, a person on their path. So I don't see myself as the person who changes a person's path, but I see myself as the person who's able to kind of tune into your energy field and see what's floating around there and come back out from there and tell you, you know, what I was resonating with and what I was seeing in there. And, you know, and then sometimes we do things where we let something loose or we take something out, you know, energetically. But, you know, with the work of the person themselves later, the work that's done after the Reiki session is really what solidifies any kind of changes. You know, so as much as I want to take, you know, it feels great to feel like I did this or something, I definitely see myself more as like a vehicle and a vessel for that love light energy to come through. And, you know, I feel like because I have done all these different things in body work as well, that it just kind of comes together in this kind of a way where I'm able to also make suggestion, you know, based on what I'm seeing. And then really it's about, does the person take those suggestions? Does the person do the work? Does the person continue to work on, you know, deactivating the triggers and that kind of a thing?
Right.
So congrats to you if you're all doing better. I've been doing your work, so good for you.
Thank you. Yes, I've been trying all the time. I went back to the beach you recommended again, picked some more rock with Janine, actually. So that was fun. And, you know, it's interesting because I'm just, you know, beginning in this journey of healing and learning about spirituality and energies and trying to just find my spot in the world, I guess. But I think it's, you helped, you know, point me in the right direction, at least. So I think that being a vessel of bringing that energy change to me was great.
Wonderful.
Well, Allison, we were just talking about you being sort of a vessel of, you know, bringing about different energies to people, and then they really have to do the work afterwards.
Right.
And, you know, how do you think, what I guess is like, how hard do you think it is for people to do the work afterwards? Do you think, I guess everything in life is kind of a journey. So, you know, learning a new skill takes time, right?
Absolutely. And I think for me, there's been a couple of different things that have been helpful on that topic of the work, because anyone who's done the work knows it's like, sigh, so much work. there's a couple different things that I think. The one thing I really love from this book, Codependent No More, or Beyond Codependence and Getting Better, one of them, Melody Beattie, I think, she has this graph that I actually came across today. It was so weird. I kind of just like flipped through the book. It just shows you of like a diagram of healing. It's symbolized as like an arrow, and it shows you what healing is and what it's not. And it'll show you what it's not. And it's not a straight shooting arrow. Like, that's not what it is. And what healing is it could be a zigzag arrow. It could be a spiral arrow. You know, it could be a wavy kind of arrow. So I took great comfort in that, and just kind of realizing that, you know, it's not like this. It's like we've been so trained in like competition since we were young that we think that like, okay, 12 steps, go, you know, or whatever it is, whatever step you're taking to, you know, for further betterment. And it's just not a linear. It's not a linear thing. Healing is not linear. Healing is, you know, it can be messy. It can go up and down. It can go around and around. So that's something I will say about the work. And then also that the work is, I also believe an ongoing thing in life, and the work just kind of changes, but there's always like the work, it kind of always there. It just kind of changes maybe of departments of life that you're working on. And then there's obviously things like, you know, partnership, marriage, et cetera, relationships with, you know, your employees, bosses, et cetera. Those are ongoing, you know, relationships that also need to get tended and in different ways. Yeah.
Really great. Yeah. I mean, I always think I'm like just a work in progress. So, you know, I'm always trying to grow, become better, and, you know, take each day as it comes, because you can only, you know, just try your best each day, and you might have a different feeling one day, and then, you know.
Yeah.
You never know.
And I think healing is also, especially when it comes to the work, there's a lot of stuff that's very subtle, and there's subtleties, and like healing can be very subtle, and we don't really like to see it until the scab is completely formed, you know. But every day something's happening there. Your body's bringing cells over there to try and help heal that area. You know, it just takes a certain amount of time for your body to make its own little band-aid, you know. We're just so used to just slapping a band-aid from Johnson & Johnson on there, you know.
Time. And like, all better.
Yeah, on we go. Let's march on, hold on. So I think a lot of being kind with oneself when it comes to healing, it's very important. Expecting setback, you know, and not going, oh no, you know, I had a setback and now I have to start all over again, because it's not starting all over again. It's definitely picking up from where you're at, you know. And, something that I love that I learned in physical therapy was that when children are growing and they're learning to walk, they actually have to fall so many, like hundreds of times and more, for them to build certain reflexes that you need later. You know, when you're an older person and you're falling, you're going to want to have those reflexes that makes your arm come out to protect your head, you know.
Right.
So it takes time, you know. It takes a lot of falling also, and then getting back up again, and just not getting too far into despair too often. I mean, sometimes you have to have, you know, that dark night of the soul, and I know that sometimes it's not just one night. So,
you know, it's crazy that you said that about falling, because in college I put in one of my presentations.
Uh-huh.
You know who RuPaul is?
Mm-hmm.
She has a song and she says, so we fall before we stand. And, you know, I put it in one of my presentations. I forgot what it was talking about. But yeah, that just reminded me of what you said. You know, we fall so many times before you learn how to stand. And that's just kind of life's mantra. Almost, because you could fall with anything almost, but each time you fall, it's a learning experience, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was wild you said that too, though. Yeah. Because I was like,
that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So, Allison, do you recommend people to, is Reiki healing something that they should do often? Is it something, like when you think of going to therapist, it's like, you know, you go, you know, once or twice a month or something, you know, how is Reiki healing supposed to kind of, how do you incorporate that into your healing plan?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, obviously depends on each person individually on how much, you know, they felt like it was supporting them. Generally, like if we do a session where we go really dive really deep and we're working on, you know, something pretty big, I always say it's up to the person, you know, call me back when you feel you need me. I try to leave people with enough information that they've got enough to, you know, keep on with their work. And I think it's really about when you feel like, you know, either you can take the approach of like, just keep going until you fall again. And then you feel like you could use a little assistance, a little help getting up or trying to understand why you fell, you know? And then, I mean, if things are really going good, I don't really see, you know, you don't really have to go get Reiki, you know? I think I would treat it the same way as like with therapy, you know? If it helps you to go to therapy once a week, good. If it helps you with therapy to go 2 times a week, okay, you know? But I think what I try to do in my sessions is really give people enough to kind of work with for a while. And then it's really up to their discretion whenever they're ready to come back or when they feel like they want to go a little deeper, especially when it comes to things that have to do with trauma work. It's just very layered, you know, like you can only feel it at a time sometimes. And I definitely believe in trying to listen to yourself and your intuition on, you know, I mean, it's not like a diet, you know, it's like, you're not like, you don't have to like Monday through Friday, this, that, or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, if somebody finds they like having it a lot, they might even want to consider learning Reiki themselves, you know? I mean, just the master, just the level one allows you to work on yourself. And I know I did that for a long time. I was on that level one for a long time. It was very powerful. And then at one point, it kind of felt like I couldn't feel it as much anymore. I realized I think I was ready for kind of like the next step, the next attunement. You know, I think I would probably go about it the same way with Reiki. I definitely think if somebody's going through something harder, like, I don't know, a divorce or something like that, where, you know, you could really use some help more often, once a week or something, that would definitely be helpful for sure. I think so. Mm-hmm.
So if someone wanted to learn Reiki, what is the best approach?
Well, I personally believe the best approach is to find a Reiki master who you vibe with, somebody who you resonate with, somebody whose work you've sampled and that you like, and that, you know, you could imagine where everybody comes with their own background and healing. So for example, and also in the lineage, it kind of goes on. So when I got my Reiki master, for example, I also got a piece of paper that showed me, you know, my Reiki master before me, and then who her Reiki master was, who that person's Reiki master was, all the way back to Uzui, who was the founder of Reiki. And so, for example, I have somebody in my lineage who does a lot of voice things, who is not the person I learned from. But as it so happens, I do a lot of stuff with my voice when I'm in session. You didn't really get to hear that so much because of the, you know, when I'm with the, not in person with the distance Reiki, and if the whole thing is just a little bit different. It's still the same concept, but it's a little bit different. Yeah, but so find somebody who you vibe with is the most important thing. Take a look at their lineage, and yeah, and then if you go through course one and you want to go to someone else for course two, you can always do that later too. It's also, you know, a possibility. However, one thing I really have to say that I'm really against is the online learning for Reiki. I really have to say it. I've struggled with that when I see that pop up on an Instagram feed, you know, as advertised to me. I really take the work seriously enough to know that I think it needs to be learned in person. I just think that's really the way to go, and for those other reasons as well. And when you're just kind of learning from somebody who's going to attune you, through the internet, I don't know. I understand that with COVID, everybody's really trying.
Right.
But, if it's something you really, 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 really want to do, I would still just try to find that person you really want to do that with. And then, you know, just wait a little bit longer, or, I mean, it's technically something you could even be teaching at, you know, at a social distance with a mask and everything too, if somebody felt they really needed to, you know, like right now. I think just start looking for somebody who you would want to have teach you.
And then how does, when you were giving someone a healing session, how does that affect you?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the wonderful things about Reiki that's totally different from when you're giving just like a regular Swedish massage, for example, is that I really, like I was talking about earlier with the vessel, I try to kind of put myself aside, like my personal part, my ego, my everything that wants to commentate on everything. And I really, you know, ask for that highest love light energy to come through for the person I'm working with. I let the energy come through me, and by it coming through me, I actually also get to receive that Reiki energy. So it's just kind of like neutral or, you know, positive, you know, highest love light energy that comes through. And as it's coming, because it comes through me as the vessel, I get to also experience it as it comes through. So it's actually, I feel very like after a Reiki session, I'm usually in a really good mood. I feel very like, that was so great again, just being into that other side, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, usually it's really great. You know, you have to do your little rituals afterwards of, you know, I think mostly the biggest part is detaching from the person's energy that you've been working with. And as an empath, that's always hard for me. And he's like, no, I want to think about them all the time. So I do a lot of work with that afterwards. I do like a very, I'm very intentional when I wash my hands. I'm always doing that in the end of session as well, as you probably were noticing that. I also do that. And I have certain things that I do. So I separate myself and I'll let that person go as themselves and let myself go as my further on. And yeah.
What, do you have any other advice for our listeners about healing, spirituality, anything that you learned that was like, wow, this was the biggest changer for me?
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know if I have the biggest changer, but I definitely feel strongly to share that, you know, I think intuition is just so important, and it's really been something that really been wiped from like our social consciousness. Whenever it comes up, it's always like, you know, very metaphysical, very spiritual. But yeah, I think everybody, men and women alike, all have innate sense of, you know, right, wrong, intuition, whatever you want to call it, that gut feeling. You know, I think it's easy kind of to walk life the way it is. It's very easy to, you know, just not listen often. Right. And usually it always ends up coming back that way. And you go, ah, why didn't I listen to myself? Why didn't I listen to my intuition? You know, sometimes you can feel very, very strongly about something, even if it's your rational, logical mind is going to tell you all kinds of reasons to stop feeling really strongly about that, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think that's the point where you got to listen when you have such strong feelings from inside like that. That's your intuition often talking, you know, and so I think in healing, that's something important, because it's like a healing with yourself. You're healing yourself by allowing yourself to, you know, listen to that inner voice again like that, in that sense.
Right. And often when you don't, you learn that you should have.
Yep. But then again, yep. Yeah, exactly. Strengthening the skills every time, right? Getting back up from that. Okay.
So, Alison, is there anything else you want to tell us?
I don't think so.
We covered a lot today about Reiki healing and just healing in general and love and light. Are you accepting new clients for healing?
Yeah, I'm only doing the distance healing right now, like we did on phone.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm hoping in the future that now that we're here settled in Florida, I'll have a little practice here in our Florida room in the back. So can't wait.
Nice.
We'll have to do things like that again.
Right.
You know, yeah. But for now, yeah, the distance sessions are just seems like that would be the safest right now.
Right. Well, someday, hopefully, you know, in-person sessions will resume. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, how can people find you if they want to visit?
Yeah. Well, they could just call me. They could maybe just ask you for my number if you're interested. I'm kind of in between, like, names, I want to say. Like, not, you know, in terms of, like, business names. I'm kind of reinventing myself here in Florida. So I used to have a web page, but I recently took it down because I just wanted it's a new start here, so I want to redo things, and the vision's not quite there yet, or you know, it hasn't quite manifested yet, but just find me under I'm also under hashtag Many Moons Pearl on Instagram. You want to call
Many Moon Pearl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can also contact me if anyone, I'm easy to find. And if you're listening to the show, you probably already know. So thank you so much, Alison, for joining today. And I am so appreciative of everything you brought to the show and to me. And, you know, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. This was a real pleasure. And I'm very excited to go forth in my day, knowing I've done my first podcast. Thank you so much for being with me.
And you can come back anytime. And when you open up, you know, in Florida, we could do another grand opening.
That's so fun. Yeah, great.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
I was heading home the other day, and I swear I couldn't even sit up straight. I swallowed hard. I found a shirt, cleaning my apartment, and it made it worse. And I swear you couldn't even see the hurt. I swallowed hard. And when my friends ask how I'm doing, I say I'm great.
It was such a great episode to have you on today. I want to thank all my listeners. Check out my website, thekirkcollins.com. That's Kurt with the C, thekirkcollins.com, where you can find my new blog, Conflicted Beyond Normal, where we tackle new music, politics, and the rebirth of me. Take care, everybody, and remember, we're all in this together. Don't forget to register to vote. You can check how to register to vote at vote.org. Take care, everybody. Viva forever.